You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning and used me. Cause I think I'm getting so huge, I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo, and kooky is cool keys. But I'm
actually looking at this story about a woman in Minneapolis shot by the police and killed. It's like, are you fucking kidding me again? So she calls 911. And then they shoot her. Unarmed. Fucking clown show, man. Honestly, it's stupid. So, let me guess. Another untrained cop. New. Out there. Afraid. And smoked somebody. Thought this. Thought that. Blah, 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 blah. You know, when we've had Mike come on, Mike has done a lot of, good morning, by the way, he's done a lot of training with police. He said what they don't do is they don't put them in those situations often enough, so they aren't trained for it. Get out there, do your thing. Yeah, and instead of, you know, anyway, if you haven't seen it, story of Minneapolis, St. Paul, a woman shot to death late Saturday by police responding to her 911 call in Minneapolis. No further details were released by the Bureau of Criminal Apprehensions or something like that in Minnesota. What do they call that? Yep, Bureau of Criminal Apprehensions, whatever the hell that means. Quote, my mom is dead because a police officer shot her for reasons I don't know. I just know she heard a sound in the alley. So then she called the police and the cop showed up. The next thing I know, they take my best friend's life. Yeah, it's like, come on. It's like ridiculous. So, anyway, I don't know. You just see it's like a woman, she calls the police, and then she gets killed? Jesus Christ, man. Come on. But, you know, again, like all this stuff, just throwing it up, dust in the air, and then it'll peter out, life goes on, right? Nothing changes. You think the millions of dollars that are paid in settlements to families across the country, do you think that money might be better spent in terms of training dollars? I do. On a regular basis, I do. I don't know. It's just, this is just disgusting. And we all know, we're familiar with death in this tribe. She's not coming back. That's it forever for her. Forever. Good morning. On a Monday. No, I've been looking at that story And I've been reading about it, and innocent woman. Just irritating. And, you know, I'm, you know, again, don't be too critical of police. They have a difficult job to do. Yeah, I got it. I mean, I've been there. I saw the way we flailed in Al Anbar, killing people that should have been killed. But we took the appropriate action to stop it. We got everybody and we trained them how to do escalation of force. Get the cones out there. Get the wire out there. Have flares. Okay? First rounds are into the radiator of the car, not into the windshield. If you can shoot in front of the car, do that if you have the time and the space to do it. But you still have the right to protect yourself. Now, we're talking about multiple, right? You got to go through all that to make something bad happen. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to me like the police in certain parts of the country. And, the Minneapolis-St. Paul area has been racked with this, the Philando Castile thing. You know, he's got a weapon. He's telling the cop, I got a weapon. You know, guy's freaking the fuck out. And smokes him, never sees a weapon, because he never draws it, and he shoots him, four times? With a little kid in the car, you know, it's like, come on, Jesus Christ, man. Don't you have to see a weapon before you pull the trigger? Guess not. You know, and you can defend it and say, well, I thought in court, and it's hard for juries to convict those guys. I don't know why he didn't go to jail for manslaughter. Clearly a bad decision, right? You're not responsible for that. That's hard. It's a high bar. So, anyway, tell you what we're going to do today on the program. We are going to talk to a couple media guys. Always interesting. Alex Hollings, former sergeant, United States Marine Corps, and he is going to go ahead and he'll join us. He writes for, he's a contributing editor at SoftRep, so we'll talk to him here in a few minutes. And Alex, always an interesting guy to talk to. He wrote a story about an interview a kid did with General Mattis. The kid yanked his phone cell number out of an image that was put up on the internet by the DOD. Nice job there, everybody. So he winds up doing a 45-minute interview with him. I wrote an editorial last week about Mosul, and so I would be. We'll talk, Alex and I will talk about that. And he's got a couple other columns that are interesting. And then at about 8:15, he of the Uvalde Reports will join us. John Uvalde will join us. So we'll do that. And then the Gunner is going to join us. So the Yankees and the Red Sox play. Montana man, because he's sick, he decides on, what would it have been? Friday, the Red Sox, the Yankees give them the game on Friday. They haven't beat. They bring their closer in. The Red Sox don't hit a ball out of the infield, and they score two runs and win. So Yankees lose on Friday night. So now Saturday, Montana man and Mike, the Gunner, they decide that now we're going to start texting as the game comes on. And I said, we're not going to do this for the whole game. They're like, what? Ooh, we're just watching the game. And Montana man doesn't feel good. He has the quote-unquote Irish flu because of his boozing ways. And so he says, yeah, I don't feel good. I'm going to be laying here watching the game. Okay. So now the game starts. The game goes 16 innings, I think, 15 innings. lasts almost 6 hours, and the whole time there's texting going on. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you know what? I'm going to give Alex and my guests now something to think about. What would you change about the American Constitution to change or to change the stupid stuff that we see? How would you change our government today? Were it in your power, what would you add or eliminate from the Constitution to make our government go? So, interesting question. If you have any solutions to that, shoot us an email. live.almarinradio@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to entertain it. My recommendation, eliminate the political parties. Federally fund all the elections. State funds the state election. Yeah, you fund it. Yeah, you have a local grassroots, primary. People come out to a forum. It's the same. It would be the same formula throughout the nation, right? You have a primary that whittles it down to, I don't know, two or three candidates. From there, you pick one, maybe four. Who gives a shit, right? You come out to a public forum. You videotape the forum. The forum goes on TV. You have two or three of those. Boom. You whittle it down. The people that survive the primary, they get state, local, federal funding, whatever. It would be uniform. No other money is allowed to be involved in it. It's our democracy. We'll fund it. You can't buy an office. There is no party. Get on out there and do your thing. So here you get, and you're not going to have a ton of money to spend. It's going to be a relatively meager sum. And then we're going to bring you on TV. You're going to be allowed to debate. And then you're going to go to Washington, D.C., unencumbered. And we're going to ask you to do the work of the American people. Yeah. So that is mine. That's mine. Do away with political parties and all the money involved in federalize the election system, rigidly controlled, give it back to the voter. And ultimately, so people can go to Washington, D.C. unencumbered. Lobbying's outlawed. If you are, as Mike would say, it's treason. Good morning. Motivation. Okay, let me stop this. So I'm watching this thing on the 4th of July. And there's this choir, it's this huge choir event. The president's going to be there. And the choir sings the Armed Forces Medley. At the end, you know, and then they announce before they sing each version, right? And in the melody, the music playing, the Marines hymn. Now, all these former Marines stand up. And here's a Marine in his dress blues, right? He's got a little flag in his hand, and he's standing there
waving the flag. And I watched it again the other day, and it pissed me off again. Listen, assholes, okay? When you're in uniform and they play that song, you stand at the position of attention. Just because you're not in a formation, the rules didn't change. Jesus Christ. Oh, and Montana Man says, oh, it was the stomach flu. I had it Friday and Saturday night. Yeah, that's what everybody gets after they go fishing and drinking on Friday afternoon.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Calling, standing by. Mostly cloudy, 81 in Quantico, 77 and mostly cloudy, Camp Lejeune, Granbury, Texas, 82 and mostly cloudy, Big Timber, Montana, home of a really good hangover, I mean stomach flu, as my great uncles used to say, after St. Patrick's Day, they'd be throwing up in a bucket. Grandma, what's wrong with Big Non? Oh, he's got the Irish flu, Michael. Oh, is he going to be okay? Yeah, he'll be okay. Yeah. It was rough last night. I don't know how I got that case of the flu. Okay, Big Non. Big Timber, Montana, 64 and clear. 29 Palms, 84 and sunny. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 64. Camp Smith in Hawaii, cloudy dark 77. Okinawa, cloudy dark 84. Mosul, late in the afternoon and 116. The home of All Marine Radio. Mostly cloudy 69 on our way to 79 degrees in beautiful, sunny Southern California. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings joins us. Don't touch that dial. Especially if you have the stomach flu brought on by a rough afternoon of fishing on a Friday. Unbelievable. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product
at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue on a Monday. Joining me from SoftRep, Alex Holling. Alex, first of all, how's your weekend? How you doing?
We need to go out and buy and making Amazon shopping lists and whatnot. It was busy, but it's good.
Wait, your wife just did what?
My wife is pregnant, you know, so we're
Congratulations.
To get the house put together. Thanks, man.
Congratulations, man. Do you have any kids now?
No, it's our first. You know, we've been together for a long time, but this is our first kid.
How long have you been together?
Our 11th wedding anniversary is later this week. So we've been together for about 13 years total.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's about time. It's about time. I waited as long as I could.
Let me just tell you, there is no greater job in the world than being a dad. It's the best. I think it's the best thing you ever do in your life. And it's certainly what people will remember you by. And little kids are fun. They are fun.
You know, I'm excited. I spent a lot of time with my nephew, and I never thought I'd love hanging out with the kids so much, but I really do. So I can't wait, man.
Yeah, but, I mean, your kid, you get to design him. You know what I mean? So, like, your nephew, you know, your nephew might be an asshole. And, you know, you hang out with him and you tolerate him. But your kid, you design him. So if he's a douchebag, you have nobody but yourself to blame. But if he's a cool
kid. Yeah, it's all on me.
Yeah, if he's a cool kid, you know what I mean? If he can hang. Like, if he slams his face into a wall and he rolls over and goes, and then gets up and keeps going, then you know you've done something right. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you know you've created a meat eater, right? If he's not, and again, you don't want him to be too smart. You want him to be, you know, like ABC student, spread it around a little bit, outside more than he's inside, right? Not afraid to throw a rock at somebody if he has to.
Yeah.
So a lot of pressure on you as a dad, more on you as a dad than him as a kid, to not raise a douchebag, to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, man. But congratulations.
It's
That's
funny
awesome.
You say that. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's funny you say that. That's something we've actually talked a lot about. It's like, all right, what elements of pop culture are we going to allow? We just found out it's a girl. So what elements of pop culture are we going to allow our daughter to see? You know? And how best can we protect her from the world that we live in right now while still raising a daughter that can defend herself from the world that we live in, you know?
You can't. Give it up.
Yeah.
It all collides in public education. So you have a choice. Do you want to really turn her into a doofus and homeschool her? Or mainstreamer and deal with everybody else's shit at school.
Yeah, you know, because I personally, you know, no harm, no foul if anyone out there's homeschooled. I think it socially cripples a kid to homeschool. You know,
straight up doofuses. I saw a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm walking my dog yesterday, right? Me and Jack, and so we're cutting through this park, and we wind up on this path. And Jack's got like this one of those 23-foot leashes, so he roams everywhere until we get near somebody. Then I reel his ass in. So he's like 8 feet, and this kid's trying to get around me. Now he's got to be 12 or 13, and he's riding a bike with the helmet on, which I always think is kind of at 13 is kind of stupid. But all right, he looks kind of like a doofus. And then right behind him, what do I see? His mom. I'm like, oh, man, bro. At some point, you got to get away from her, man. All the best things in life happen away from your mom, man. And you're just looking at him like, you don't have a chance. You have a chance. So.
You know, it's funny, though, because I had that exact same mentality operating under the assumption we were going to have a boy, because that was my immediate assumption.
Yes.
And then as soon as I found out it was going to be a girl, I was like, all right, well, she's not allowed outside.
Right.
We're going to, like, not allowed to talk to any of my friends. I know the types of guys I hang out with.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
But I'm excited, though. I'm probably as excited as I am terrified. And it's a high level.
You know, it's the best. And, you know, watching them conquer their demons, it doesn't matter how old they are. Instilling them in them that they're special, telling them that you believe in them and you know that they can do it, and then seeing them achieve and be so excited. And it doesn't matter if it's simply putting the Crayolas back in the box. You know what I mean? There's all these little obstacles that children conquer on their way to adulthood, and what they learn as children defines them as adults. And so don't raise an asshole, okay? Come on, man.
I will try my very best, I promise.
No,
I really will.
You know, and the other thing is they got to be tough, too. That's the other thing. You know, we as a people, You know, it's you know, life, you know, when life kicks you in the stomach, it tends not to kick you once. You know, it'll boot you in the stomach six times. But if, guess what? If
you're going to keep learning lessons until you learn them.
Right.
You know, life's going to keep presenting them to you until it finally sets in. I'm a big believer in that. Yeah.
But if you're tough enough to get up the seventh time, guess what? You win. You win.
I agree. Absolutely. You know, and I'm excited because now it means all this gear I've got in my garage. You know, I've got all these mats and stuff because I used to have guys train at my house.
Right.
I now have a new reason for all of it. You know? My daughter's going to be a black belt in the mat before she's 10 years old. That's the plan, you know? And then I'll start sending her out to other disciplines.
She's thumping everybody's ass at school. That's always
interesting. That's the plan.
There you go. Hey, I have a question for you. Did you ever take the Minneapolis police shot and killed a woman who called them because there was a prowler in her alley? Do you have any take on police violence? I've never seen a column that you've written about it, but you're never short on opinions.
That's fair. It's funny that you ask, because I actually recently, I had an incident here at my house. It was a few days before July 4th. I was up playing video games. My wife went to bed early because, you know, she's pregnant. And right around 1 a.m., I was like, you know what, instead of going into the bedroom and waking her up, I'm just going to rack out here on the couch. You know, watch some TV. I threw on some old SNL on YouTube, and I noticed what looked like a flashlight beam swipe across the front windows on my porch.
Whoa.
But, you know, I live out in the middle of the woods,
yeah.
You know, so that they're definitely not headlights going by, you know? And you know, full disclosure, I'm probably half drunk, right? So I get up and I walk over to the window, and I don't think I see anything. It's really dark out there. But then I see another light flash. So I grab my pistol. I open the door and I announce that I'm armed. I don't see anybody there, but there's a gas can that's been lit on fire and pushed up against the wall of my house.
What?
And, this was just about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And, you know, I know what you're thinking immediately. What kind of stuff must I be involved with to have someone come and try to burn my house down? I don't even know anybody down here. You know, I work from home. I go to the grocery store, you know, I go to the movies. I'm not a real big social butterfly. And, so I couldn't tell you, but, you know, I ran inside, I woke my wife up, you know, got her out of the house, and she called 911, and, I just sat there spraying my house with the hose to try to keep the fire from spreading. And fortunately, the fire department and the police got there very quickly. But I'll be honest with you, I was scared, like genuinely scared, in part because I was half drunk and underprepared, you know? But while I was sitting there trying to keep the fire from spreading, I was thinking, if whoever set this fire, they're probably still around, you know? And here I am with my attention squarely on my house and the fire, with my pregnant wife, you know, in the woods behind me someplace. I can hear her voice, but I'm not looking at her. And I was genuinely concerned that whoever did it was going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, it was a really, real, as tough as I like to act like I am, as much, you know, smack as I like to talk, you know, once you feel really vulnerable, truly vulnerable, you know, all that bravado goes right out the window, you know? And,
you're a gun guy, too. Didn't she grab your Glock or something? And
oh, you better believe. Oh, she had her own gun. Come on. She's got her own gun. So, yeah, she was armed, as was I. Still, even armed, I don't know what's out there. It's 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, I was afraid, you know? And so when the fire department got there, they were fantastic. The first responders in my community are awesome. You know, they're volunteer firefighters, got a call at 1:30 in the morning and came and saved my house. You know, I can't thank them enough. But I can see how in one of those instances, like let's say you think there's a prowler outside your house, I can see how you as a civilian, or, you know, even as a military person, even as a veteran or an active duty person, I can see how when it's your home, you lose a little bit of that perspective, and you get a little frayed at the edges,
Got it.
And
yeah,
I can see you making bad decisions that would put you in precarious place.
Got it.
In terms of law enforcement, I do expect better of you. You know, not just because of the training that they undergo, but because they deal with people and situations that are at their worst all the time. So when I see videos, like I haven't seen the one that you're talking about in particular, but I've seen plenty.
And you won't because the
the body cameras were shut off.
Of course, you know. I'm a big supporter of law enforcement. I've got a lot of friends that are cops. But that, you know, I'm also a Buffalo Bills fan, and that doesn't mean I can't be critical of them firing their whole coaching staff after the draft,
right.
You know. And I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, but that doesn't mean that I can't be critical when you hear things like that. Like, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know all the details of this case.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me like a pretty clear-cut case of somebody screwing up, doing something they weren't supposed to do.
Well, you know, I had Mike Musselman come on, who was First Marine Division gunner, and when he got out, and we talk about, you know, those skills are perishable skills in terms of, you know, recognition, at, you know, in with your pulse, you know, thumping a little bit, you know, shoot, no shoot, all that kind of stuff. And if you're not training to that on a regular basis, which most police departments don't do, then how do you maintain that skill? I mean, I liken it to, we had a huge problem with killing civilians in Al Anbar in 2004. The reason it happened was because they were taking opals, filling them with explosives, and driving them into Marines. And so any car that came towards you scared the shit out of you because they were really good at killing Marines like that.
Absolutely.
And so what happened was we you know, at first, you know, we had Guardian Angels, which was a General Mattis thing. But then we found out that, you know, we're killing too many civilians. They panic when they come around the corner and see us, and they hit the gas. We think they're trying to kill us. They're trying to get away. And if the trajectory's wrong, then, boom, we kill people. And so, you know, we came up with this, you know, spike strip, signs, Guardian Angel, you know, pen flares fired in the direct fire mode, all this stuff to try to get them to stop and go the other way so we wouldn't have to kill them. I expect the same thing out of police departments. That's all I'm saying is, like, so what we're going to get, first of all, why was the gun camera footage shut off? Why is that camera not on? All right, so answer, riddle me that, Batman. And then after that, what you're going to get is, I was confused, it was dark, I didn't think, she had a broom in her hand, I thought it was a rifle, so I shot her. You know,
and arguably, those are all excuses that I would take from a PFC who has never been in a firefight and is on his first deployment. You know, in all honesty, to a certain extent, I find these things acceptable. Not okay, not good, but to a certain extent, I find these things acceptable in that if you have however many, you know, what are there, 3 or 5 million police officers in the country,
right.
You know, out there, you know, working hard for their communities every day, statistically speaking, a certain percentage of them are going to make mistakes. The problems that I have are when those mistakes could have been avoided, if not by more training, if by just utilizing the training that they did receive. You know, and that sounds to me like a great instance where maybe they weren't utilizing the training that they did receive, you know, as evidenced by them not even turning on their cameras, which I would imagine if their community raised the money, you know, paid the tax dollars to get those body cameras and the gun cameras put on, they certainly want them to use it. That's not an inexpensive investment.
Hello.
You know, so it sounds to me like I would argue that there's a vast majority of the cops out there are great cops. But, you know, just like the 10% rule in the Marine Corps.
Right. That's not the issue, though, right? We're not saying that they're not good people. And we know how hard that is. But you can't.
Oh, no, when I say 10%, I'm not judging their character.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, their physical capability to be good at what they do.
Right.
You know, their can't-get-rightness. I'd be willing to bet that there's a fair percentage of police officers out there who, just like that guy that you would just send to shred papers out of your squad because it wasn't really good for anything else, there's got to be some of those guys. I'm not necessarily saying every officer who gets into, like, a questionable, you know, officer-involved shooting must be that guy.
Right.
But some of them seem like they are, you know?
Well, no, the other one that was in St. Paul... You know, the dude's telling the cop, hey, I've got a concealed carry permit, I've got a weapon, you know, and he never pulls the weapon out.
and he gets shot four times.
Yeah.
Like, and you can hear the guy's voice, and he's losing his shit. And you're just like, oh, man. But
yeah. Anyway. See, and those are the ones where it makes it, because like I said, as a supporter of law enforcement, those instances are the ones that make it really hard not to be critical of law enforcement.
No, you know what?
But like
look,
I said,
you
I can still stand and still
right.
be critical.
You can
you
can support law enforcement and be critical. I mean, it's the nature of the beast, and it's the way it goes. I mean, people support the Marine Corps, and yet are critical of the stupid things that Marines do. And
being critical is an important part of it, right?
Absolutely. In a democracy, it is.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Mosul. You wrote a column here recently. I wrote an editorial recently that talked about, you know, you do all this fighting to get a chance to, you know, to win the peace again. And now we give me your thoughts on Mosul. We stand kind of sort of on the backside. They'll still quote unquote mop up, although the guys involved in it certainly won't call it mopping up because it's a little bit more intense than that. But the big formations, as far as everybody can see, are gone. The city is in the hands of the Iraqi army now, and the Iraqi special police. Your thoughts on Mosul?
Well, I'm gonna come off as though I'm discounting this victory. So I'd like to preface my statements with, this is a big deal. You know, it's important. It's symbolic, you know, and it also, it speaks to just how far we've come in the fight against ISIS overall. You know, that they, you know, that's their second to last bastion of safety was, you know, was West Mosul. And now all they've really got left is Raqqa, and that may well fall here soon as well. That said, I was not particularly a fan of the mission accomplished banners that we started hanging all over Mosul, that the Iraqi government started, and announcing victory over ISIS while they still, their military was still actively engaged in the fight.
Right.
While the Iraqi prime minister was announcing victory. And even still now, Mosul is back under, the Iraqi security forces control, but there are still pockets of resistance. And when we make these broad, victory announcements and things like that, what it does is it draws attention away from Mosul now. Now we don't have to worry about Mosul so much. It's not going to be trending in the headlines as much. We can start focusing on other things. Meanwhile, there's still guys there, fighting a good fight with their lives, brutal fighting. And it's going to continue for some time,
right.
So I don't like the idea of announcing victory only because, victory is still a long way off. Man, there's sociological changes that need to be made in the region
before you
can declare victory.
It's kind of interesting. I wrote about, I had a guy in last week. The guy who has my attention now in life is George Marshall, the engineer of American, policy after World War II.
The Marshall Plan.
The Marshall Plan, right? An incredible guy. And the Marshall Plan, right, we know it was money to Europe. But, Marshall presides over the expansion of the military from a few hundred thousand to, I think, 9 million at one point in service. He presides over the expansion or the conversion of our industrial base to wartime production. He advocates, women into the workforce because demographically we need them to go there so they can go fight. He advocates for the drafting of black Americans because we need them in terms of demographics and numbers. We can't do this without them. Okay, we need them. So, he presides over all that, and then the Marshall Plan is a response to the armistice, the Treaty of Versailles in World War I, and
I'd argue that it set the basis for modern European Union, NATO,
absolutely.
Western alliances with the United States.
Absolutely,
created the base for that.
And the same philosophy applied to the Japanese has created the peace and stability on the planet for the last, going on 70 years. Now, but the other part of the Marshall Plan that I found out about last week doing an interview was this aid that we gave was going to take the wartime economy of the United States, convert it to producing washing machines, vacuums, refrigerators for Europe and much of the world, and it was going to be the transition piece that transitioned the American economy back to a peacetime economy. But it was this aid that would then come back to the United States in the terms of purchased goods, because the United States was one of the few, you know, nations that still had major industrial manufacturing capability that wasn't destroyed. And I thought, dude, that guy's a genius. So where is the marshal? Where is the guy who's designing something that help us that will help us create something stable in places like Mosul? Because again, you know, we've done all this fighting to get to this spot. Okay, now we have the opportunity to do something good, to create something stable, something economically viable, something that's not going to want to wage war. Are we going to screw this up again?
I can't speak to the political environment of post-World War II America,
right?
You know, but I can speak to the political environment of today, and I'm not sure if it would be allowing of a marshal or someone like that to come in bipartisanly and be able to initiate the kind of change that we need, at least from the United States' vantage point, in places like Mosul. I'm not confident that they'd be able to get that kind of support. I mean, James Mattis, I would argue, is probably one of the most supported in a bipartisan way members of the Trump administration, and I don't think he'd be able to do it. You know, so that's tough, man. I don't know if it's because the political climate is different now, or if it maybe it's always been this bad, and it just seems different to me reading history books. But I can't imagine someone being able to make unilateral decisions without there being just a constant uproar, particularly if that person was appointed by Donald Trump, who, even if that person is doing an incredible job, there's going to be people who will not like him simply because he's part of the Trump administration.
Yeah, but I would reject the notion that it's unilateral, that it would be American, or I wouldn't even say American, it would be coalition in nature, but there's economic pieces, there's nation building pieces in this thing. But
NATO should definitely be more involved.
Right, but if what arises, and we'll just use Mosul, you could throw Fallujah, Ramadi. If what rises out of the ashes of what is Mosul doesn't have economic hope, doesn't have, then it's not going to be for the good. And so
that's an excellent point. What have we done then?
Yeah, what have we done? Why do we go down this road if it's just, is it just to rubbleize another city? So now it's, to me, it's like, okay, that's done. Now comes the work. Now comes the crucial work of doing it. And I'm just, where are the people? Where are the adults in the room that are going to do this?
You know, Jack Murphy is my boss over on Toss Up, and he wrote an article called, I'm paraphrasing the title here, but something along the lines of why victory in Mosul doesn't matter. And his argument was that he participated in the fighting for Mosul twice already and has watched it fall with barely a shot fired, if at all, you know. And now we're celebrating once again the capture of the city, you know, this now in worse condition than ever. You know, the plight of your average civilian living in Mosul is now far worse than it ever has been before, which means there is much more work ahead to try to prevent another terrorist organization or one of the old favorites from coming back in and spreading their influence through simply being the only people around with a checkbook. You know, it doesn't take much to influence someone who's desperate. And in Mosul, there's going to be a lot of desperation for some time ahead unless we can do something about it. I think you make a great point. I don't know, unfortunately, what the answer is.
So let me ask you this. Is there any reason to be optimistic?
You know, I am an optimist. So I would argue...
So am I.
I would argue that the very sake of your positive thinking is a good outcome in and of itself, because it's going to get you through the day. This fight against ISIS, in my opinion, is not a fight against ISIS. This fight against ISIS is a fight against an ideology. It's a fight against socioeconomic issues, desperation, poverty and like a, you know, when you look at places like Detroit or Chicago here in the United States, there are a lot of the same elements that lead to the horrible violence you see in Chicago that also lead to the horrible violence that you see in Mosul. It manifests itself differently, but the symptoms are similar. You know, if you push a person to the point of desperation, they're going to do crazy stuff. You know, and unless we can find a way to improve the way the government works there, to improve systems there, it doesn't matter how many times we go back and liberate the city again.
Start the stopwatch because now we're getting ready to do it for a fourth time.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
and unfortunately, we don't have a great track record with nation building.
Oh, my God. But I would tell you, if you don't understand nation building and you're not good at it, then look, just go rubbleize it and leave. But normally you go to war to create something else. Now, we could have argued in Afghanistan, we just need to kill Osama bin Laden and every Taliban guy up there. We're going to go there and do that. And if until that's done, right, don't even speak to us. And then when it's done, we're leaving because we don't want this piece of shit country, okay? You could have made that argument. I don't know that you can make that when you go in and tip over a government and destroy its military. You've got to leave something there. And so to the idiots who start this shit, who don't understand this stuff, let me read you an awesome Marshall quote. And so that's why, I mean, he's got my attention. And I have John Allen booming in my head. And Allen told me on this program, general type Marine, and he said, Mac, this conflict is not going away. He said, if we don't come up with some kind of broad plan to create economic stability and order in the Middle East, your sons will go back there and fight again. My grandson, who's going to join the Marine Corps in the next 12 months, he will fight them, not once, but multiple times. This is not going away. And if we don't, get our head around this, and if we don't look to the long term to build these things, then only bad things will happen. Here's Marshall's quote. Our policy is not directed at any country or doctrine, but against hunger, poverty, desperation, and chaos. Its purpose should be the revival of a working economy in the world so as to permit the emergence of political and social conditions in which free institutions can exist. How about that?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, like who the fuck is that? Yeah, he's a baller, right?
You know, but and it really, it speaks to this, it speaks to a problem that we're seeing in national politics now, which is this kind of trend of isolationism on the right, you know, and, both parties have got a lot of subgroups within them, you know, and I would argue that libertarianism is, you know, obviously it's further to the right than it is to the left, maybe it's more socially left, but, isolationism is big with libertarians, it's big with the far right.
Right.
The problem with isolation policy is that it's short-sighted, you know, like when you ignore the rest of the world, you allow it to develop in any way in which it sees fit. And often, you know, that's at the expense of the weak. And you can have ideological problems with that, but maybe you could argue, yeah, but it's not our business, that's not our country. Fair enough. The problem is that when you leave a country like North Korea, for instance, to its own devices for so long, it's eventually going to come to the point where it is now, where we're left with, you know, there are no good options left on the table, but something's got to be done, whether it's diplomacy or the kinetic option. Something's going to end up having to be done with North Korea. And that's the result of decades of just letting it be. And when you let things like that happen, you need to be involved sometimes in the international theater in order to not only protect those innocent people and those civilians and the children ISIS was killing to try to prevent civilians from fleeing. You want to go do something. You want to do right by them. Sure.
Yeah, but if you're inept,
what you also want to do is right by you.
But if you're inept, and I'll walk you down the road. Vietnam, Lebanon,
yep.
Somalia,
yep.
Afghanistan, and Iraq. Where we have a string of failures in which we can do the kinetic piece. We're good at that. We can kill people. you know. But it's the aftermath. What do we create in its
wake?
That's
the puzzle piece that we've been missing for 50 years.
Well, fuck, man. Yeah. I just don't get it. Like, is Don Rumsfeld an idiot? And I think he is. I think if there's American worthy of being, I should be careful what I say, of being executed, it's Don Rumsfeld. Because he betrayed the nation, taking it not only to war on bullshit pretexts, but then he tried to do it on the cheap, and he destabilized an entire fucking region of the world, and Europe is now paying for it.
I agree, but I think that some of that blame needs to be pushed out to Cheney as well.
Oh, you know, you can blame them all. But Rumsfeld and his arrogance pissed me off. Cheney, Wolfowitz, and ultimately the President of the United States, right?
Absolutely.
Go along with it. But to me, if you don't solve winning phase four in these conflicts, okay, yeah, the kinetic peace and all that, got that. Our military will take care of that. I want to talk about phase four. I want to talk winning the peace. And if you can't do that, then we can't go do this, because it's immoral to ask the American people to give up their sons and daughters in death for a cause that we're not committed to winning the peace. And it might take...
The real reason why is because it's not sexy. You know, CNN isn't going to give you updates, you know, push notifications on your phone about the bake sale that we threw in Mosul. The problem is we need to do these things. It's the most important part of it.
Right.
But it's not anything that's going to get anyone reelected. It's not going to get anyone promoted. And as a result of which, it's not the focus of anyone's priorities. You know, if you're a commander in Mosul right now, you're focused on winning the fight. When it comes to winning the peace thereafter, you're like, oh, that might be me. It might be the next guy. You know, ultimately, I recognize it's important, but it's not going to be the difference between me and another star. You know, and if you're an elected official, winning the peace isn't a platform that you can run for re-election on. Because no one cares. If there isn't an explosion in Mosul today, your average American's not interested.
Right.
You know, and I can tell you that by going on CNN and Reuters and Fox News every morning, you know, explosions are what makes the news. Personally, I think that a lot of the news stories that we get are not necessarily news stories, they're individual tragedies when it comes to domestic news. It's one guy stabbed one lady, which is terrible. But the fact of the matter is, there's 320 million people in the United States. That guy's 3,000 miles away from me. He might as well have been some guy in Europe, which, to be honest, as far as I'm concerned, just doesn't really much matter in terms of my day. But that really cool shot of that lady bleeding out on the sidewalk is going to get, it's going to be trending news. You know, you'll be able to find it in your Facebook newsfeed, Twitter, whatever other social media platform you're on. Because it's dramatic, you know? And the American people aren't interested in peace, and therefore our leaders aren't interested in peace. And to solve that problem, what you need is you need somebody who cares more about the situation than they do about their career. And I haven't seen that in any elected officials as of late. I don't want to say I haven't seen that in any of the military leaders, because you know how it is. There could be 700 lieutenant colonels with the best of intentions, but those intentions are never voiced publicly, you know. Until we care, they won't.
All right, let me read you an email. Hey, Mac, what the hell happened with somebody trying to set his house on fire? Have they caught him? What's the status of the investigation? So,
fire department. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you there. But the fire department and the police have been through my house now, you know, I think three separate times. Unfortunately, the nature of, you know, spraying foam and water and stuff all over the front of my house also got rid of any evidence that could link us to a suspect. I had a whole bunch of theories. Like, I thought close to the 4th of July, maybe somebody shot off an errant firework that somehow I didn't hear or see. But the arson investigators seemed pretty confident that it wasn't that. You know, they asked me a whole bunch of questions about, you know, who might want to do this. You know, ex-boyfriends of my wife's, ex-girlfriends of mine. Fortunately, we've been together for so long, and we live so far away from any exes that, like, if they drove 1,500 miles 13 years later to try to kill me, they really lack follow-through. You know, they could have done much better. So, I don't know, man. You know, the police at this point are operating under the assumption that they think it might have just been some kids trying to play a prank. That's not my opinion of a prank. But it's the best we've got to go on thus far. But I haven't spoken to the lead investigator in a few days. I try to give him a few days between phone calls, just so that he, you know, will still take them when I call.
Right.
But I will say, you know, local emergency services, they came back to my house a few days later with extra fire alarms that they decided where the best strategic places would be to place them and put them in free of charge. I can't say enough good about the first responders in Dawsonville, Georgia. They're incredible. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot for them to go on, you know. So, you know, a lot of people have asked if maybe it might be tied to one of the stories that I've covered, which, I mean, there's potential there, but a lot of the stories that I cover, you know, they're not, I very rarely am the investigative journalist breaking a story about, like, a drug cartel or something along those lines, you know. I'm much more of an analyst than I am an investigative journalist. I mean, I've written some stories about, you know, for instance, I wrote a couple of stories about, like, this group of former special ops guys that were running a job board in the HTML coding of a website a few years ago. And the job board was mostly security jobs, but some of them were a little ominously worded, you know? And so my article was basically, you know, some of these ominously worded jobs and locations could be tied to murders that have occurred, but that's all. There's no real evidence to support it, so it was just kind of a theory. And that was months ago, you know, and that's probably the closest I could come up with. But I'm a big believer that if it was a bunch of SOCOM, like former SOCOM guys who wanted to come and scare me or kill me over that story, they could have done a whole lot better than lighting a gas can on fire and leaving it on the porch.
Yeah, I'm thinking you would have been dead, okay?
I'm thinking the same thing. If you wanted me dead,
They have the skills, okay, when it takes
a break.
All right, I've got to take a break. When we come back, I've got a question for you. It involves the Constitution. My guest today from SOFREP, Alex Hollings, former Marine Sergeant, and we'll continue with him coming up next on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with a serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .808 on a Monday. Talking to Alex Halling of SoftRep. Somebody tried to burn his house down. Another email for you there, bud. Hey, Mac, tell Alex to get motion activated cameras with no lights on them. I'm sure he knows where he could hide them someplace. You can get them both wireless and wired. Just a thought. If there's people fucking with his shit, they will wake him up, and then he can defend himself like we're all entitled to. Wish him all the best. Semper Fi.
That's a great recommendation, and as luck would have it, I've written a 3-part series so far for SoftRep. The first part just kind of explaining what happened, and then the next two thus far explaining some of the security upgrades I've made around my house, and that was actually. The very first one I did was buying a Nest outdoor security camera. It's fantastic. It's wireless. It notifies me anytime there's someone in my yard. You know, I've got a bunch of motion detectors. I got, you know, floodlights and things of that nature, window alarms. And
right.
I've spent all kinds of money and done all kinds of stuff and then still somehow not gotten any sleep over the last 2 weeks. But
well,
I feel like eventually I'm going to feel more secure, you know.
No, I mean, it's hard, right? You know, especially now you're going to be a dad and all those instincts collide and so, all right. We'll have you.
Yeah, my wife calls it Firewatch. Every night when she goes to bed, I have 3 screens on my desk. I just leave 1 screen on the Nest cameras and the other 2 screens I work with. And I just stay on Firewatch until, you know, whatever time I find a way to go to sleep.
Wow.
Eventually I'll sleep.
All right. Here's my question for you. What constitutional changes would you make in this country?
That's right there in and of itself. That's an incredibly difficult question.
Hold on. Let me finish. So that we could create something that works for the American people, because clearly this doesn't, right? And I will tell you this, I don't know if we're just frustrated or if this is truly a different phase in American political history, but I would tell you this, this dysfunctional shit that we see in Washington, D.C., I am amazed at how many veterans, you know, when we talk about it, tell me things like, there's going to be another American Revolution coming. And I'm like, whoa.
And they're like, no.
So I've got strong feelings about that, too.
All right. So
I'll address that part first.
All right.
I've heard by it from a lot of people that there will be another revolution in our time. And I think it's a ludicrous possibility. The reason being that the American people are very comfortable. You know, it's surprising to me, especially when I hear it from service members, because when you've gone overseas, if you've served in a third world country, you know, you see the plight of these people, you know, who are, you know, living under garbage that they've piled up into a shelter and, you know, in children fist fighting over MRE powder that someone will toss out to them. When you see that and then you come back to the United States, and for instance, I had a terrible night a few weeks ago at 1:30 in the morning. I called 911 and 30 people showed up at my house within 10 minutes to come and help my family. You know, as bad as we have it in the United States, and there are certainly things that are bad, as long as you can count on that, as long as you can count on the police coming to save you, provided you can count on it, in some communities I understand it's not as good, but as long as we can count on the police to come and save us, the fire department to come put out the fire, as long as we've got broadband internet so that we can all get our browsers accounts and whatnot, as long as we have all of these creature comforts, you're never going to actually elicit a real revolution-type movement.
Okay, let me ask you this. Does it surprise you the frequency that you hear that comment?
It does, but I don't think that we're hearing it more frequently than we may have, you know, 30 years ago. I mean, in the 90s, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing, although, you know, Timothy McVeigh acted alone, or at least as far as we know, he was a part of a much larger group of people who were maybe not necessarily anarchists by their own definition,
right. But
were people who were, you know, incredibly disheartened by the federal government and wanted to do something about it. You know, Waco was not quite the same thing, but Waco ended up being kind of like a bug light for all the crazies who didn't like the government. You know, these situations pop up every couple of decades, you know, but it's because the sentiment behind it remains throughout. You know, I think that there's an even flow to it, but I think as long as your average American can get his Amazon Prime and run to the grocery store and buy a pound of hamburger, and, you know, and can sue the car company that, you know, because there was a brakes recall, as long as you've got all of these things, all this control over your own life, I don't think that you're going to be able to get a large number of Americans to forego all of those comforts and all of that security in hopes of establishing something that, to be honest with you, doesn't have any real, there's no concrete, this is what we want to replace our government with. There's just, we're not happy.
Okay.
We're not happy is a powerful emotion, but not powerful enough, I don't think.
I got it. We're out of time. So the next time, we'll have you back on in a couple weeks or so. When you come back, though, I'm curious. I want to get your thoughts on our government, you know, and then the way it functions. And do you believe our Constitution needs structural reform so that this government can work for the American people, or this is simply one of the ebbs and flows in the long history of a democracy that was, you know, that was wonderfully formed, but we, you know, we're just fighting through the rigors of, you know, national politics.
I can give you a two-word answer for now, but I can elaborate later. But ban lobbying is my number one change to the Constitution that I would put in.
Okay.
Get rid of lobbyists. Get rid of, you know, corporate interests in our politics being as powerful as they are, and I think that that will be a big step in the right direction. But I'm sure I could come up with more.
Okay,
given time.
Give it some thought, and the next time we have you on, we'll talk about exclusively about home security improvements that you would recommend, and then I'll give you a call. We'll do it in a week, if you have any other thoughts on modifications that you would make to the U.S. Constitution in order to create a better form of government that would work more in the interests of the American people, which I think they struggle to do, but my own personal opinion.
I agree. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. That sounds great.
All right. First of all,
congratulations again on your wife being pregnant. And as I said, the best part of life, I think, is being a husband and father. So that's awesome. But also, you know, very concerned about the whole arson thing. That's not a good thing. And
you and me both, brother.
And good luck down there.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Always happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Alex. Have a good day. Thanks, man.
You too.
Somebody try to burn your house down? Are you kidding me? What the hell is that? All right. Coming up next, the Ubaldi Report. John Ubaldi, Master Guns, United States Marine Corps. Coming up next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.